Hello, and welcome to an Only Murders in the Building sidecast for Whodunit. I'm Jacob.
I'm Jessica.
And we're here to geek out about Only Murders in the building. We're up to season one, episode six, to serve and protect.
Yeah.
And we love the fact that this one, so the point of view on this episode, or like the monologuist or whoever on this one, is Divine Joy.
Oscar winner Divine Joy Randolph.
Yes. She's back as Detective Williams, I believe is what the name is.
Donna Williams. Detective Donna Williams, yeah.
And yes, she's it is her turn to talk and tell about what's going on in her brain. And turns out this episode is all about loneliness and being alone in your head or not.
Yes. And Herman's head comes in. There's a lot of pop culture references.
There's a ton of pop culture references in this.
A lot of thematic things going through.
But there are also some pretty huge reveals in this episode as well. In addition to Divine coming back, what else did we have? What were some of the other things we learned in this episode?
Well, we learned, so in the last episode, it ended with Mabel dumping over the bag of
jewelry, the gigantic
bag of jewelry that she had found in Tim Kono's apartment. And we found out in this episode, continuing in that tattoo parlor, that Tim was actually supposed to be meeting, because they knew they were supposed to go there,
right,
and that Tim was meeting with somebody, a jeweler, or no, a fencer, or
a fence
named Angel,
no,
or
named
Cutter.
Cutter. The
Cutter.
Fence was named Cutter because Angel's they were going
the black, no, mailer, black mailer, no.
No, Angel is the thief. Angel is the jewelry thief or the bad jewelry person that he's trying to take down. Yeah,
yes.
The black market jewelry guy.
Yeah, and Cutter is the fence who was supposed to show up and Tim Kono was supposed to meet. And Tavo, the owner of the tattoo parlor, had a picture of what Tim was supposed to be getting, which was supposed to be an emerald ring.
Yes.
Which then later on, they all end up at her mom's house because her mom shows up at the tattoo parlor.
It's like, wow, you came to Long Island and you weren't going to tell me?
Yeah. And so they have dinner, end up having dinner at the mom's house.
To the reveal.
And well, that the ring, well, it falls out of her Hardy boy, which, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this too. This is the first time it occurred to me in this episode that Charles Hayden Church and Oliver are her Hardy boys. Anyway, Oscar goes into her bedroom and sees all this decor and sees these books, these photo albums that she's made. And one of them is called My Hardy Boys.
He's been in prison this whole time.
And this picture falls out of it, and it's the four of them as teenagers or
on the
young
night, on
people.
On New Year's Eve, the night that Zoe died and Oscar was arrested.
And Zoe has her arms around the shoulders of her friends, and her hand is dangling over a shoulder, and on it we see an emerald ring.
Huge, big old ring. And that was the ring that Tim was supposedly going to get from Cutter at this.
And Oscar reveals that it was not on Zoe's hand when Zoe was
on the ground.
On the ground after the fall and the murder.
Yeah, he's like, you don't forget what your girlfriend's body looks like. So yes, like she was, like the ring was on her earlier and gone. So we think somebody stole it from the body on the ground, or like that's what the fight was over. But yes, so now this ring, we know exactly what he was looking for, and he's trying to take down Angel.
Angel. So we have this name Angel, which then later on, Nathan Lane's character Teddy is in this. Oh my gosh, what a fabulous scene, right?
This scene is amazing. Nathan Lane is amazing in this. So like they go, you're right. They go to the house. They go to Mabel's mother's house and she has them over for dinner. And Mabel's mother is like, you have to stop this. You have to stop this. She's been a ghost all these years. She's been a ghost. She's hasn't been able to find her way back to the living. This needs to end. You need to stop dragging her through this. And Oscar's also like, can we please just have a few moments where we're not talking about dead people? And they kiss, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't kiss. They're up in Mabel's bedroom, which we're going to talk about Mabel's bedroom.
Yeah.
But so Mabel's mom is like, you really need to end this.
And they keep talking about Charles and Oliver, like your old people, your grandpas, your elderly.
You're just some randos.
Yeah.
You're just some old randos doing this. You need to stop doing this. And so they leave and they're like, yeah, we really don't know any, like none of us really know each other. We need to stop doing this. And they go to their apartment, and this is another great reveal. They go to their apartment, and they get drunk on gut milk.
Yes, because gut milk, as it turns out, reveal, is 13% alcohol, which is not a spirit. It's technically a liqueur that point. Because that's more than beer and wine.
They're drinking Bailey's Irish gut milk.
Yes, yes. Hilarious.
But while they're drinking this, Teddy calls them in and is just a very ominous text, which is like, you need to come see me now. And the reason is, and they're feeling really guilty about this because they need to stop doing it and they're afraid they're going to get yelled at by this guy, who's then showing them that Cinda Williams is making fun of them on Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, but you and I were both watching this, and we, as marketers, or I mean, like any human being at this point, know that... Anything being said about you,
it's good. It's just good
in a large platform. So yeah, we were like, why is everybody so scared about this?
Yeah, this is amazing news, which of course it is. Turns out Teddy is like loves this, begs them to continue. They're like, we can't do this. And then Nathan Lane gives the most stunning monologue. Like, I'm just like, oh my God, so good. He gives a stunning monologue about his grandmother, Evan Helene, a Greek immigrant who came over from the Turk massacre and like believed in him and like believed in the family and believed in giving people opportunities. And so he even has this foundation that he's set up to give people like Oliver and Charles more opportunities to make something happen. He's giving them a huge check, $50,000, to continue with the podcast. And they're like, we can't do it. We have to tell him that we can't do this. But then they realize,
they're about to rip up the check.
Mabel comes over.
Well, and Charles says, wait a minute, look at that check.
That's right, look at the check. Look at the name on the check. The foundation, Teddy's foundation, the Angel Foundation. And just then Mabel comes over with some hummus for Oliver because she knows how to get into his heart. And she apologizes for everything. And she's just like, I have to see this through to the end. I feel like I've been living my life, like my whole life has been on hold. I need to see this through. We need to finish this. And they're like, this is it. Here we go. Our prime donor, our prime sponsor is now our prime suspect.
Yeah. We also have another reveal.
Plot
reveal in this episode is that
Dave Vine. Yes.
Her detective Williams realized she thinks she closed this.
Well, she did close the case.
She closed the case.
And she finds out that her wife is listening to
the podcast because she found out about it because the yard dogs, the people from the last episode who work with Cinda, gave him a shout out on Twitter. And she was like, oh, I got to listen to whatever they're talking about. And so she's listening to it. And Detective Williams is like, I close this. But she goes back to the office and she realizes the toxicology report was never submitted. And Tim Kono's phone never went to IT. Yeah. So she still has it. But she can't do anything about it because it's closed.
And so, this is where this more into the whole themes of loneliness. Like, she brings up Herman's Head because she loves the fact that in Herman's Head, when she was growing up, which love the flashback scenes of her as a child, she's like wearing this cape and has like a superhero mask on, like one of those little, like, just. I forget what the name of those masks are called. Either. In any event, just the one that just covers your eyes. And she's watching Herman's Head and loving it, which I don't remember Herman's Head being all that great of a TV show, but good for you, Detective Williams.
72 episodes,
though.
Yeah,
but that's just three seasons.
In the 90s,
yeah. It's just like, good grief. It was like, by all accounts, it was a low rate. This was back when Fox was still trying to figure things out. So in any event. But she loved this show, and she talks about how, like, she loved it because you were alone, but you weren't alone in your head. And then, she's having problems in her relationship with her wife, and she's a little upset that her wife is listening to this podcast and, like, doubting her and her skills. Because back in episode one, Dave Vine was like, save me from these amateurs. This is a suicide, clear cut and simple. So she gets in a fight with her wife. They're about to have a child, Kareem or Keith, we're not sure. She has a fight with her wife, goes back to the office, finds out all these things, comes back home and realizes, like, her thing about loneliness is that, like, she doesn't know how the TV show ended. Neither do I. I stopped watching in season two somewhere. But she's like, when you actually find somebody and you're in a relationship, you're no longer alone. So you don't need all the voices in your head.
Mm.
And what she does, because this is great. She is so smart because she's like, I can't open the case. If I reopen the case, that is not how I make Sargent. But sometimes you just got to help people a little bit. So she sends the phone to Mabel.
So cool.
It's great. She's like, so she's acting in integrity. She's doing the right thing for them and she's doing the right thing for herself. Good job, Detective Williams.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm glad you're not alone. I'm glad you made up with your wife. That kid, Keith, Kareem,
however they name it,
gonna turn out great.
Yes. Yeah.
So those are our reveals. So Jessica, you're back to your cheesemonger guess.
I am. Well, I'm not sure that it is Teddy. But that was an ominous text and then ominous scene on the couch with Charles and Oliver.
See, I didn't think it was ominous, though.
The sound, like he was breathing down their necks. The sound effects were amazing, I thought, of just him like...
Okay.
Yeah. But I think it's actually, I'm going to go back to, it's his son.
Okay.
Even though we haven't seen his son is the right age for hanging out, having hung out with them or been around them, and certainly would be, you know, the one to carry on the tradition in the family.
Oh, you're right. The whole family thing. Like, let's keep doing.
Carrying on the coin and like how... Teddy says that his father was like, I'm not going to give you the coin. I'm going to be buried with it. And he's like, maybe I took it out of his cold. I unburied him or
dug his body up and ripped it out of his cold, dead hands. You're just like, oh, suddenly I believe you could have done that.
Yes.
After this very heartfelt, sweet monologue, you're like, oh, my God. Yes. Okay.
Well, that monologue had a lot of different.
Oh, there
levels.
There was some darkness in that monologue. Whew. 100%.
So 30 minutes and so much happens.
They pack it in.
And so much
Madeline
is
George,
visual.
Good job.
Yeah, so much visual stuff, so many monologues and like really interesting thematic things happening.
Well, thematics. Let's talk about thematics. Yeah. Like Mabel's bedroom is a gold mine.
Yes.
Like, oh my, from like the cutout of Stabler, which you pointed out. So Stabler from SVU, she has this like cardboard cutout, life-size cardboard cutout of him in her room, which Oscar totally makes fun of her for, but he's like, hey, he kept it tight. And also, but like even his name, Stabler, like more stable. You pointed that out. I didn't even get that. But like also she's an interior designer. So she processes things through like physical manifestation. She has made this huge life-size tree of life in quotes in her bedroom.
Yeah.
We don't see everything that's on it, but a tree of life. Come on, like she's referred to as a ghost and she's got a tree of life connecting the underworld and the physical world and the spiritual world together all in one in her room. Plus she's got stable, like there is some like, yes, thematics of like coming back to life and the randos, like they're called randos, but like
later, Charles and Oliver.
Mabel's mom calls them randos, but then they turn out not to be.
Yes, absolutely. They are not randos to each other. Charles notes that he's seeing all the listeners.
Yeah, all the new downloads from
downloads
the Jimmy Fallon
on
bump.
The
yeah.
podcast and on his phone. And Oliver's like, I'm not seeing it. I'm trying to reload. And Charles says, you have your phone on airplane mode again. And then Oliver lights up and he says, oh, you remember, you know, see, we're not randos. You know things about
you
me.
You know my phone settings, which let's be honest, that is a pretty intimate thing to know somebody's phone settings.
It is.
It's just a weirdly intimate thing, but true.
And then when Mabel comes in, she brings tamales from her mom, which is really lovely. But then she also brings hummus.
Yes.
And Oliver looks at it. He says, oh, but it's a day out of date.
It's like a day.
Expired.
It's expired yesterday.
And she says, and she hands him a fork, but we know you'll eat it anyway. And he says, yes, I will.
Yes.
So they're not randos to each other. They do know each other.
They have finally learned to trust each other. Maybe, hopefully.
Maybe,
like,
I don't know.
Delivering
on
that promise from episode 1.
They do say to her, like, no more lies. And you need, or I don't know. Do they actually say that? Or
I think something
or they
like
make
that
her
happens,
kind of like apologize for the lies a little bit.
I don't think they make
bit.
Her apologize. She, like, I mean, Charles is so, like, he's such, like, a puppy out of all, you know what I mean? He's such a puppy. He's certainly like, come on, are we really, really, he does do something in there to really make her affirm that, yes, they want to do this. And she does say she wants to go to the end of it, so.
What's the name for, in, like, the Dashiell Hammett world of the
femme fatale.
Yeah, the femme fatale. I just realized, you know, we've been making fun of that furry jacket that, you know, the Muppet jacket that she's wearing.
Yes.
But, you know, we can't wear fur nowadays. But that's a, like a trope of that look, yeah, is just the woman with the long hair and the furry jacket.
Yeah,
and
she's
gloves.
Like all glamorous and dolled up and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, so she's definitely very fashionable.
So this is a version of femme fatale, but just in bright Technicolor Muppet fuzzy.
Bright millennial kind of, yes.
Yeah, with secrets and lies, you know, things that she won't reveal because of a scary past, or, you know, mm-hmm. sad things that she can't trust other people with. So, yeah, there's so many things that I was like, oh, duh, like smack me in the face. She is the femme fatale of their threesome group.
She's Nancy Drew and a femme fatale. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And they are her actual Hardy Boys.
Yes.
Those other people may have been a pack and she may have
right.
called them her Hardy Boys, but I think these folks are, these
yeah, Charles
two guys
and Oliver,
are actually her Hardy Boys.
I want to talk some more a little bit about the whole idea of like Herman's head throughout all of this, like listening to like different people in her head. Stabler is very real to mm-hmm. her. I think that there might be, and they're so meta about any of this to begin with, like
yeah.
Tina Fey pretending to be Cindy Williams talking to
Jimmy Fallon
on all this stuff. Like there could be a point in this where they're going to go absolutely meta on all of this, and like somehow like the actual creators of the show are the people who killed Tim Kono.
Well, so who are your guesses, Jacob? Or what is your guess?
I'm sticking with Angel. I'm not going to go full meta on this. I'm wondering if they're going to bring this actress back. I haven't looked, but I think it's Angel from Herman's Head. Because one of the people, speaking of femme fatales, one of the characters in Herman's Head was a woman who like characterized, this is just like the feminine qualities of him. And her name was Angel. And I bet that's the Angel. It's the Angel from Herman's Head. They're just pulling that back in. That's who it is. So
okay.
Watch out for her.
I still think it's Teddy's son. It's something to do with a cheesemonger, now dip purveyor.
Yeah.
That's the translation, I think. Deli.
Deli. Yeah. Yeah, somehow when
deli
there was
guy. So great. So good. So questions that we have.
Who is
so
Angel?
Many things untied. Yeah. Who is Angel? I wonder
how are they going to get into Tim Kono's phone?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Also, like in earlier, the first episode was all about this engagement ring that Tim Kono was receiving, and
we thought it was an engagement ring.
Yeah,
and then they had to go get it out of Bunny's apartment.
But does Mabel actually know whose ring that was, if like it was a stolen ring? And does she or anybody know the emerald mm-hmm. ring, like what the origins of that is? Like, is that a Zoe's family ring, or
right.
is that a ring that they stole somewhere along the way?
Yeah.
Is it Jan's ring? How long
Ooh.
Has Jan lived in that building?
Yeah.
We don't know. Yeah. So what is up with what are the origins of these rings? Is that ring going to come back? Also, what is Cinda up to?
This is Cinda, she keeps recurring. I really don't think she's going to do an investigation on them. I more and more I'm convinced that she's going to buy their show. Because, she's on Jimmy Fallon making fun of them, but there's no reason
to ever bring them up. They had 17 subscribers.
They had 17 subscribers, exactly. And, like, she has to know what she's doing. I mean, it's the Barbra Streisand effect. You talk about it, suddenly there's a lot more attention paid to it. So she's got to know what she's doing. So I'm just wondering if she's, like, she looks at this and she's just like, it's ridiculous, and this is why everybody needs to be listening, and so I can buy it and make a ton of money.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. I think Cinda is crafty is what I think on this.
Yeah. That said, no celebrity ever goes on TV to make fun of somebody else's project. That's
I feel like I want to argue with you on that, but I can't think of a counterexample.
I mean, why would you, unless you have a beef with somebody? But again, you would still never be advised to
all kinds of shade and all kinds of like your entourage saying things or like leaving blind items. You don't like go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think
it's
that's
just
ever.
Not polite. And if we know one thing about stars, we know that they're polite.
I mean, that's the whole thing with Jimmy or not. No. Who's the guy who just did the Oscars?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel and his Matt Damon thing.
Yes.
It's all manufactured yes. because he otherwise doesn't really have a beef with
yeah,
anybody.
He's got no beef with anybody.
Yeah. Okay, so in closing, as marketing and PR people, today we learned once again that the best marketing for podcasts is other podcasts. And Jimmy Fallon.
And Jimmy Fallon, yes.
So
if you're out there, Jimmy Fallon will happily come on. Or you know what? Someone else, please make fun of us on Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. if you want to do that, it's fine. It's fine.
Or just go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just
yes.
5 stars. Just quick
word
5 stars.
Word of mouth. Tell people friend. About us. Go to Cluedenit Podcast, at Cluedenit Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, and tell other people about us. Wink, wink.
We'd love it.
In the meantime, I'm Jessica.
I'm Jacob.
And we'll keep you guessing.